Om Bharataya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusantatami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini. Katham vidyamaham yogin, katham vidyamaham yogin, tvam sada parichintayan, tvam sada parichintayan. Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu, keshu keshu cha bhaveshu, chintyosi bhagavan maya, chintyosi bhagavan maya. Back in verse 12, Arjuna has been talking to Bhagavan and asking really for Bhagavan to elaborate in detail on all of his nature and all of his vibhutis and his yoga, the Maya yoga, and just to reveal everything, because if anybody can reveal it, it would be him. He's the one who knows himself completely through his own mind. This has been the type of talk. And so now Arjuna is continuing to ask Bhagavan to really reveal his own nature, to talk about all of his vibhutis and how can I see you in everything? How can I see you in everything? How can I know you? How can I, when I'm just living in my day-to-day, when I'm experiencing all the things in the world, how can I see all of them as you? So this is what he's doing, and then Bhagavan's going to answer. So we have two more verses from Arjuna. So he says in the Sandhi, katam vidyam aham yogin tvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu chabhaveshu chintyaha asi Bhagavan maya. So he says, Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, katam vidyam aham. It says, he addresses Bhagavan, oh Bhagavan, oh yogi, the one who is truly the yogi, because the one from whom the whole creation comes out of his mind as though, right here in Nigarbha. He says, Ishwara has the whole Maya Shakti, and from this Maya Shakti, this whole creation manifests. Creation manifests, is sustained, and resolves out of Ishwara's Maya Shakti. So there's no greater yogi than the one who the one, you know, who has all Shakti, who has all capacity. So he says, O yogi, Bhagavan, O yogi. I mean, Swamiji translates it, I think, as the greatest yogi of all. What it says literally is, O yogi. Okay, Bhagavan. He says, katam vidyam aham tvam. How can I know you? How should I know you? And then he says, but sada parichintayan, being one who's always reflecting upon you, thinking about you, meditating upon you everywhere. Pati means all the way around. Meditating upon you everywhere, thinking about you everywhere. How can I really know you? It's how can I see you in all of this, thinking about you, meditating upon you? He says, keshu keshu chabhaveshu chintyaha asi. He says, you are in what things? Bhavas means all of these things that I experience, all these things in the universe. You know, in which of them, in which of all of these things should I use to meditate upon you? In other words, what are your vibhutis? What are the things that I should concentrate on in this creation to contemplate on? So keshu keshu means in which, and all of the things that are available here in the creation, all of the bhavas, all of the things that exist here in the creation, which are in a way are chintya means should be meditated upon. Which one should I choose to contemplate upon? But all of these things that are available, which should be contemplated upon me, contemplated upon by me, you know. So that the idea also is, in the whole Indian culture, we have upasana. You know, upasana is a type of dhyanam, a type of meditation, where I'm superimposing Ishvara, in a sense, upon something in the creation. You know, so in all of this creation, all of which is you, because even before, in a few verses before, Arjuna has said, "I recognize everything is you. I understand that that's what you're telling me." And that's what all the sages have told me. That's what all of the rishis say, that you are all of this. But he also knows that in this creation, certain things are called Bhagavan's vibhutis, Ishwara's glories. Like, for instance, Bhagavan will go and later give a whole list. Like, for instance, he'll say, among all the Adityas, all of the sun gods, I am Vishnu. Means worship me as Vishnu. Among all of the mountains, worship me as the Himalayas. That he'll bring out all of the bhutis, all of the things that are standing out, you know, that are glorious in this creation, in every type of genre. In this genre, among this group, worship me in this form. In this group, you know, see me and I am this. So we'll go through a huge list of those things. But he starts out saying something else. So let's go through and get all of it before we get to his list. Mm-hmm. So this is Arjuna's question. How should, you know, in which of these things, because there's an infinite number, in which of these things should I choose in order to worship you, you know? And so then he says, let's do this next verse. He says, Vistarenatmano yogam, Vistarenatmano yogam, Vibhutin cha janardana, Vibhutin cha janardana, Bhuyak katiya triptirahi, Bhuyak katiya triptirahi, Shrinvato nasti memritam, Shrinvato nasti memritam. This Vistarena atmanaha yogam, Vibhutin cha janardana, Bhuyaha katiya triptihi, Shrinvataha na asti me amritam. He says, he addresses Krishna now as Janardana. Hey, Janardana. Janardana means this verbal root uttered. It has two meanings. It means one meaning is to make gamiyat through its kalp, to make somebody go somewhere. And the other one is to propitiate, to ask for. So here, Shankara talks about these two meanings. The one where he makes the people go somewhere. That Janardana is that's the common meaning, and it means based upon the person's karma, the dushta purushas means the one who have done bad deeds, the one who are the poppies. He, based upon their karmas, sends them to Naraka, to hell, and to other bad bhumis, where they have to reap the results of their karma. That's one meaning. So, hey, Janardana, the one who's capable of sending me, based upon my karma, to negative lokas, where I have to experience the negative fruits of those karmas, Janardana. The other meaning is the one who... the one who I propitiate for moksha and abhyudaya. Let's see, moksha and there's one other word. Moksha and abhyudaya. Abhyudaya means all of the things that I want other than moksha. You know, in the Katha Upanishad, they divide the positive things into shreyas and prayas. Prayas are all of those things that I want, all of the pleasures, all of the sukhas, Let me have this so that I can be happy. Let me have this so that I can be happy. Fulfill my desires, or all my kamas, or, you know, let me have wealth, let me have progeny, let me, there's wealth, progeny, and these are, and fame. Those are the three major ones. Let me have lots of wealth. Let me have lots of family. You know, let me have a lot of fame. Those are all the beauty of polas, you know. And then the other one is moksha. The beauty of those three polas, you know, fame and wealth and progeny are supposed to, it kind of include everything, you know. And you can also include in that going to better lokas. You know, also, let me go to a better loka. Let me go to Swarga loka. So I can be praying to the Lord for those things. I can be beseeching the Lord for those things. Or I can be beseeching the Lord for moksha. So that's another meaning. So with those two meanings together, you know, you kind of get everything. Either sends you to hell, because to the experience of a negative, it's not like heaven or hell. Because in India, I mean, the whole concept of heaven and hell is completely different. Heaven worlds are temporary. Hell worlds are temporary. They are just the experience of the experiencing the fruits of your karma. That's always time-bound. And so we don't have the same type of heaven and hell. You're going on experiencing all different kinds of things. So anyway, when he says, hey, Janardana, the one who can send me to where I'm meant to go based upon my karma. So, and it can be negative also. So, hey, Janardana, he says, Vistarena, in minute extreme detail, with great detail, he says, with great detail, he says, Buyaha Katia, may you please tell me again all about your Atmanaha Yoga, all about your yoga. Means all about your sarvagat, your all pervasiveness, all about your sarvagnyatvam, being all knowledge, all about your shakti, sarva shaktiman, about all of your vibhutis, all of your powers. He says, tell me about this yoga, this maya yoga, your capacity, who you are, and then how that yoga manifests in all of the vibhutis. Tell me in great detail about you. You know, and your capacities and all of the vibhutis, the ways that you manifest, the extraordinary, wondrous ways that you manifest into creation, he says. Tell me again. Buyaha means again. And then he says, Triptihihi, because, he means because there is no triptihi. I can't get any, I can never, the idea is this, I can never tire of hearing this amritam. I can never get enough. Tripti means satisfaction. I can never reach a point of satisfaction for hearing this amritam. And Shankara says for amritam, he goes like this. Twam means twam. Mukha nisrita vakyamritam. I can never tire of hearing the nectar of the words that are flowing out of your mouth. The nectar. I can never tire of hearing of this nectar, which are the words, the nectar being the words which are flowing out of your mouth. I can never get enough. So please tell me in great detail. Vistarena means minute detail. I want to know every little thing. I want to know the whole. I want to know everything. So please tell me all about your yoga, the maya shakti, and the vibhutis, all of the glories, all of the ways, the glorious ways that you manifest. So this is what he asks Bhagavan. And Bhagavan answers. So he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Hantate Katayishyami, Hantate katayishyami divya hyatma vibhutayaha divya hyatma vibhutayaha pradanyatav kuru shreshta pradanyatav kuru shreshta nastyanto vistarasyame nastyanto vistarasyame. So Sri Bhagavan Uvacha says in Sandhi, Hanta te katayishyami divya hi atma vibhutiyah pradanyatah kuru shreshta na asti antah vistarasya me. He says, hanta, hanta is, Swamiji translated as, well, now. But he also, you know, hanta also has a very positive, pleased. It's like hanta, like, oh, okay. Pleased with Arjuna. You know, it's a pleased, being pleased. He then says, katiyishami, I will tell to you. Katiyishami, te means to you. I will tell you. Divyahi atma vibhutiyah. Those, all of the atma vibhutis, all of my vibhutis, all of my glories, which are divya, which are divine, otherworldly, all of those special vibhutis, the positive vibhutis, because I won't tell you all of the negative ones, the hard ones. I'm going to tell you all of the ones, you know, all of the ones, not the Janardana ones. I'm going to tell you those divya, the divya vibhutis, those divine vibhutis, those things which are actually my glories, those type of things, those vibhutis, I will tell you. Pradanyataha, he says, a kuru shreshta, the most, talking to Arjuna, the most exalted among the kurus, he says, I will tell you those, but pradanyataha, in keeping in mind which are the most important, he says. Keeping in mind those which are the primary ones, the most important ones. Because he says, na asti antaha vistarasya me, because there is no end to the number of vibhutis, of my vibhutis. There's no end to it. And so, because Arjuna has twice, even in a previous verse, he's asked Bhagavan to teach him, to tell him all of them in detail. Please tell me everything in detail. You know, in minute detail, that's what Vistarena, vastly, tell me everything in great detail. And so now Krishna says, I will tell you, I can't tell you everything, I'll have to pick out the most important ones. You know, he says, because na asti anta, there's no end. You know, Vistarasya, he says, for the expanse of it. It's so expansive, there's no end for it. Literally, it says, there is no end for me. You know, who am all of this?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it literally says when we there's no end for me. So where will it stop? You know, so I will tell you what is most important. Pradanya means, what is primary? What is most important for you to know? Those ones I'll tell you. Okay?
Yeah.
So, this is the verse that we can do. Aham, aham, atma, guda, kesha. Aham, atma, guda, kesha. Sarva-bhutashayastitaha. Sarva-bhutashayastitaha. Aham, madhischa, madhyamcha. Aham, madhischa, madhyamcha. Bhutanam, anta, evacha. Bhutanam anta evacha, says aham atma gudakesha sarva bhuta ashya stitaha aham adihi cha madhyam cha bhutanam antaha evacha. He says, remember, he's going to tell this kind of in order. First, I will tell you what is the most important, you know. What is the most important yoga, the most important vibhuti? What is the most important way, you know, for you to know me? Because how can I know you? You know, in what form? In which form? How can I know you? So now Krishna is going to tell him what is primary. And he says in the first, just in the first line, he says, hey, guda keshaha. Guda kesha means the one whose kesha, whose hair is matted, guda. That's one meaning, guda kesha, the one who has matted hair, addressing Arjuna in that way. But another meaning that Shankara gives, two meanings. The other meaning is Gudaka Ishaha, the one who is the Lord, the master of sleep. So Gudaka means sleep, swapna. So the one who's the master of sleep, or nidra, the one who's the master of sleep, or also where nidra means tamas, the one who has mastered any dullness, means the one who has clarity, whose mind is clear, the one whose mind is alert, who is clear, who has clarity. So hey Gudha Kesha, he says, this is what needs to be, this is what you need to know. This is what's primary, this is how you should see me. Aham Atma, I am the Self, I am the Atma, I am the Self. Sarva Bhuta Ashya Stita, I am the Self who is abiding in the heart. Ashya means in the place, but Ashya is used for Hridi, in the place, Antara Hridi, in the innermost heart, in your heart. I am the one who is abiding in the heart of all beings. I am the one who remains there as the Atma, as the Self, abiding there in the heart of all beings. This is how you should see me. You should see me as the very Self of yourself, the very Self of yourself, and the Self, the person who is there, the Self in all beings and all things, actually. But here, Sarva Bhuta, when you say Ashya Stitaha, you can take all sentient beings, but Bhuta is also the whole creation, who is the Self of the table, who is the Self, but who is the Self in our inner relationship. You should see me as the one who is there, as the very Self in all beings. That's how you should see me when we're looking about Keshu, Keshu, Bhaveshu, in all beings, right? Yes, how should I know you? You know, how should I know you when I'm looking in all of these beings? What should I say? You should see me as, you should see me as the Self of all of those beings. That's a Mahavakya, really. Because Krishna is talking. Krishna, usually in the Gita, is talking as Ishwara. Once in a while, he's talking just as Krishna to Arjuna. But usually, he's talking about himself as Ishwara. You know? And so you should see me as the very Atma, as the very Self. Because Bhagavan talking, I am, says, I am the Self. Bhagavan's not going to say, I am the Maya Upadi. He's going to say, I am the whole. You know, and the Maya Upadi is nothing but me. But I am the Atma which is the Self, in the Self of all beings, the Self in all beings. So the Self that I am is the Self that you are. That's what you should see. And you should see that this Self which you are is myself, and the Self that, and the Self of every being also is myself. And so he says, so now Shankara says, if you're unable to see that, if that is not able to be seen, if you can't see that me, the Atma, in all beings, he said, then go this way. I am, he says, he goes like this. Wait a minute, let me get this exactly how he said it. Okay, go like this. First of all, we have to take this line and then the next verse. So he says, Aham adischa madhyamcha bhutanam anta evacha. He gives you the reason that you should be able to see me, the Atma, as the Self of everything in the creation. He says, Aham adihi. He says, because I am the beginning. Shankara says, I am the Bhutanam Karanam. I am the beginning. I am the cause. I am the cause of all of this. I am the one from whom all of this has come. Means I am the Upadana Karanam. If I say I am the Upadana Karanam, means I am the being. I am the being from which all of this has come. Upadana Karanam means the material cause. I am the Self, which is the very substance, the very being of this whole creation. I'm the Adi. Adi means beginning. I'm the beginning of all of this. And so all of this really is nothing but clay. You have to think of it when we say like this, Upadana Karanam, or I'm the very beginning, I'm the cause of all of this. If we take it as material cause, it's like saying, if you have a a lump of clay and you make it into a pot, the clay is adi, right? The clay is what is actually there. It's what's there at the beginning, in the beginning. If you have a clay pot, you got a lump of clay, what is there at the beginning is the clay. That's the upadana karana. And then from that clay, this thing that is actually there, this pot comes, right? The pot comes. But what is actually there, the very beginning of it, is the clay. And then when the pot comes, then I am there, the clay, in the middle, now that the pot has come. And when the pot is broken, I am there in the end, right? And so here he says, aham adihi, I am the one who is here in the beginning, as the very cause, as the very material, the very being from which all of this comes. And I am the one who is madhyam. I am the one who is there in the middle. So the creation comes, there is asti, there is sat, everything is. The creation comes, now the creation is, right? So I am the isness, the being of the creation. And then the creation, antaha, comes to an end. Into what? Into me, the being. And so then I am there before, during, and after, as the very being which the creation enjoys. And that being so, it is not hard for you to see me, right, in everything, because I am what is actually there. I am the upadana karanam and the nimitta karanam. These two terms are important terms. If I say, I am the material cause of this creation, and I am the efficient cause of the creation, I am both the clay, right, and the pot maker. Right? I'm the clay, I'm the material cause, and I'm the efficient cause. Here, I'm the material cause, as if I were to analyze anything in the creation, get down to what is actually here in the creation, as the very substance of the creation. The only substance that is here is my being, is amnes. That's what is here, my very being, the amnes. To understand, it's best to use, I think, the dream analogy or to imagine the meadow analogy, to really understand if what we mean by upadana karana here. We'll use the meadow. If I imagine a meadow, right, the meadow enjoys, when the meadow projects, the meadow enjoys my being. It enjoys the isness. The meadow is, right? The meadow comes from my being, enjoys my being, and resolves back into my being. Right? My being is what remains. I am here, and now the meadow is. So we would say like this, I am. The meadow comes into manifestation, and now the amness, me, reflected in the meadow, gets by language called isness. So I am, so I could say now the meadow am. Right? The amness of my being remains the same as the very stuff of the meadow. So the meadow comes, it exists, the meadow goes resolves, the meadow comes, the meadow I am, the meadow comes, the meadow is, the meadow resolves, I am. So if you just say I is, the meadow resolves, I still is. Nothing ever happens to being. Being, in fact, is what is. The entire creation, the whole maya, like the meadow, comes from being, is sustained in being, and resolves into being. And so that being, how does that being reflect in all of you? What is your experience of the being, of being? Is I am, you know? So I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. Now Bhagavan is saying, I am that am. I am that Atma. You say, I am the Atma, I am the Atma, I am the Atma, I am the Atma. Bhagavan says, the Atma that you're claiming, that Atma is me. I am the Self in all beings. And that Self is the very amness that you experience. Because it's easy to start with amness, because amness, your being, can't be really separated from awareness. But what is similar? Why amness is good? Let me say like this. that being that you say, when you say, I am, I exist, I am, you know, you also say, I am a conscious being. This is the thing to understand. You are a being, and that being is consciousness. Why? Why is not the being inert? The reason is because the bottom line for objectification of anything is only consciousness. You can't get behind consciousness to objectify it. Everything else can be objectified. Right? I can objectify the world, I can objectify my body, I can objectify my sense organs, I can objectify my mind, right? But I can't objectify consciousness, because consciousness can't objectify itself. And so consciousness is the bottom line. Now the question is, does consciousness, which cannot be objectified, does it exist or not? Well, we have to say, yes, of course it exists. You can't have non-existent consciousness, because then that's a misnomer. If something is non-existent, there's nothing to name there. And so the consciousness is the only thing that can't be objectified. Right? And so the isness, the being itself, has to be consciousness. Because anything that can be objectified in this creation comes in and out of consciousness, comes in and out of existence, right? Its existence in consciousness is not innate to it. It's only borrowed, because it can be without it. It can go into non-existence. So if it can go into non-existence, because objectified, because of existing within duality, because of subject to change, because it can be objectified like that and subject to change, it doesn't own existence. Existence always remains, and consciousness remains as the constant as it goes, things come on, coming into consciousness, going out of consciousness, coming into existence, going out of existence. Because objectified and existing within duality. But consciousness can't do that. You can't make consciousness come into existence and go out of existence. It's not objectifiable as an object. So therefore, consciousness and existence have to be the same thing, because the one can't objectify the other. Right? They're both non-objectifiable. So they don't, both of them, you talk about them as two, but they don't exist as an object in the universe for them to be two. If you can objectify them with this space, and you have some consciousness over here and some existence over here, then you can say there's two. But if you can't objectify them, they're not subject to duality then, and so that means that they're one and the same thing. Now, that's fine for you, where you say, I'm a conscious, existent being, and all of this is objectified. But then we have a problem with recognizing, a problem that we shouldn't have, but it's a problem that we need to work through. We have a problem with recognizing that I am the table. You know, we don't have any problem recognizing that the table exists. You know, that this table enjoys existence, no problem. But that this table enjoys consciousness, there's a problem. Right? And so, one of the easiest things that we have to do in recognizing that I am the creation is to recognize, first of all, that my being, the being that I am, the existence that I am, right, is something that I freely give to everything in my experience. You know, I am, it is, you are. There's nothing that stops me from recognizing being itself as the common denominator, that everything equally enjoys. I won't say that I exist more than the table. No, the table exists, the chair exists, the rug exists, everything exists. And so now if I ask you, it is true, we give existence to everything in this creation. But then I ask you, Does the existence which you enjoy, when you say, I exist, I am, that's how I say it, I am, is your experience of existence, of being, something which you can objectify? Like you can objectify the table and the rug, and I can objectify all of you. You all are, right? But what am I objectifying? Are Namarupa, all the names and forms. But the sense of amness, of being, of existence, you know, can I objectify that? In other words, to be able to say, I see the painting and I see its existence. I see the rug and I see its existence. I see you and I see your existence. No. I see your name and form. But the existence, the being, when I say I am, that experience of being, which I give to all of this, I can't see that. And so, in fact, your experience of existence is only your experience of amness. You don't have an objectifiable experience of existence. You only have the experience of your amness. And in, because look at, do you say amness? Is there any thing, any way of taking your amness and differentiating it from isness or arness? I'm saying there's only one amness experience. So we can say there's only one amness experience, I'm going to call that experience isness, or I'm going to call that experience being. My isness, my amness, my being. Right? Being, amness, isness. That's it. And now I say this amness, it is, it is, it is, it is. But all there really is one amness. And, you know, a collection, a maya, a projection of all names and forms enjoying that one amness. Now, when I say all of this really is enjoying one amness, one being, because I have to include myself as a Namarupa within all of this, all of this is enjoying one being. Whose being is that? If you say, it is my being, then who is the my being? Or am I the being? See, there's a difference. I am the being, or does somebody have my being? See what I mean? I would say I am being. I am the being, right? I am the being which cannot be objectified, you know? And I, the being that cannot be objectified, then, how can the being that I am be more than one? I am the being, me, that can't be objectified. And we're all saying that. All of us who are objectified, we're all objectified. Mm-hmm. We're all objects. Mm-hmm. You know? But the self of all of these objects is me, the being. So I am the being who am the self of all of these objects. And now say we all say that. I am the being who is the self of all of these objects. That's why Krishna says, I am the Atma. I am the self who abides, right, in the heart of all of these beings. So each one of us has to say that. I am the self that abides in the heart. In the heart means in the buddhi, means it's the buddhi is what can recognize it, you know, in the heart of all of these beings. I am the being from which all of this has come, by which all of this is sustained, and into which all of this goes. That's why Stockin as Ishwara, he has to say, I am the self in all beings, and I am the one from whom this whole creation has come, who sustains this whole creation, into whom this whole creation resolves. You know, just like the dream. Just like the imagination comes from me, is sustained by me, resolves back into me. I am the self of the whole thing. So I am yourself, I am yourself, I am yourself, I am yourself. because I am the one who is the very substance of all of it. So in this verse, it's just the Mahavakya. This is what it is. Yeah. And so he says to Arjuna, if, this is how Shankar takes it, this is how you need to see it. This is how you should see me. So Krishna's saying, this is how to see me. This is pradhanita. This is the primary. This is what you need to see. This is how to see how you should think about me at all times, in reference to all things. Yeah. That I am the self of all of these beings. I am the one from whom all of this has come. None of this is away from me. Then Shankara says, but if you have trouble with that, if you have trouble holding, this is the connection he makes with the next verse, if you're not able to do that, then all of these other ones that are going to follow, that Krishna's going to say, all of the other ones that are going to follow, then see me in that way. Because now we're going to go into the form of all, like it's like worshiping devatas. You know, like say I understand Ishvara, but I see Ishvara, I worship Ishvara as Krishna. Or somebody else said, well, I worship Ishvara as Ganesha. You know, it's easy for me to, you know, if I look at the creation and I see that Himalayas, there's no more beautiful, you know, mountain range than the Himalayas. That is Ishvara for me. I worship Ishvara as nature. I see Ishvara in nature. That is Ishvara for me. You know? And so I use all of Ishvara's vibhutis, all of Ishvara's glories to evoke, you know, to evoke that sense of the Lord. So we all have different things, you know. Some people it's a walk in nature, or there's so many different things that stand as vibhutis, or it can be a devata, or it can be your guru. You know, if your guru has so many vibhutis, you can see Ishvara in the teacher. You can see at a temple, there can even be a certain murti in a certain temple. A certain murti form of the Lord in a certain temple. And then you close your eyes and you think of that murti, and that evokes Ishvara. These are all the vibhutis. So now, having told the primary, this is the primary, the pradhanya. After that, then let me give you a whole list, you know, of ways, you know, of ways to see me, vibhutis, ways to see me. So let's just do one of them. So he says, adityanam aham vishnuhu, adityanam aham vishnuhu, jyotisham raviramshiman, jyotisham raviramshiman, marichir marutam asmi, marichir marutam asmi, nakshatranam aham shashi, nakshatranam aham shashi, adityanam aham vishnuhu, jyotisham ravihi amshiman, marichihi maritam asmi, nakshatranam aham shashi. He says adityanam, there's something like 12, I think, different, yeah, dwadasha, 12 adityas. The adityas are the different suns in the whole system over time, the different suns, that each one illumining and making life possible for that different era. I don't know all of this because there's a lot of mythology in this. But here he says, of all of the adityas, all of the suns, the different sun gods, that they have different names, you know, that make life possible, I am Vishnu. Because Vishnu is the one who sustains the whole creation. So all the suns sustain life. But I am the one as Vishnu. Among all of the adityas, I am Vishnu. Brahma Shiva, Brahma Vishnu Shiva. I am Vishnu, who is the one who sustains the whole creation. Swamiji has a nice section on that. So he says, Adityanam Aham Vishnu. And then he says, Jyotisham. He says, of all of the luminaries, so of all of the luminaries, Ravihi Amshuman, of all of the luminaries, I am the sun, the one that has rays. But the Adityas are bigger. They have to do with the different lokas and the different periods of time. Okay? And Vishnu is the one that maintains and sustains the entire creation, where the Adityas are other type of deities. There's 12 of them, and I don't know all the details. So Adityanam Aham Vishnu Jyotisham, of all of the luminaries, I am the sun with my rays. He says, Amshuman. Marichihi Maritam Asmi, of the Maruts, a different group of devas, I am Marichi. Swamiji doesn't comment, and I don't know the mythology here. But of the Maruts, I am Marichi. Then he says, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi, of all the night luminaries, I am the moon. So the day luminaries, I am the sun. The night luminaries, the nakshatras, I am the moon. Of those who sustain the environment, the adityas, I am Vishnu, because I sustain the whole creation. So now he's just going through the creation, you know, kind of like Rudram, you know, goes through and just picks out, you know, all of the ways, but all the... Divya means all of the otherworldly, not just looking at the... In Rudram, you know, we go through and pick out everything that's in the creation, all of the thieves, all of the... everything imaginable, good and bad. And then do namaskar to that as Rudra. Here, in this particular one, Krishna is picking out all of those things that are wondrous, you know, that can be used for upasana in a sense, and praising. So that's what it is. Let's just do one more. Vedanam samavedosmi, Vedanam samavedosmi, Devanam asmi vasavaha, Devanam asmi vasavaha, Indriyanam manaschasmi, Indriyanam manaschasmi, Bhutanam asmi chetana, Bhutanam asmi chetana, Vedanam samavedaha asmi, Devanam asmi vasavaha, Indriyanam manaha cha asmi, Bhutanam asmi chetana. He says, of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. You know, the Samaveda has this little added touch. You sing it. There's a Sama. There's a way to singing it. Just like the Rig Veda. It's almost identical to the Rig Veda, the first Veda. But it's the Rig Veda put to a song. So it's chanted in a singing type of way. It's extraordinary. So it says, of all of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Devanam asmi vasavaha. Of all of the devas, all of the devatas, I am Vasava. Vasava is Indra. Indra is the lord of all the devatas. So of all of the devatas, I am Indra. Indra is their ruler. So worship me as, see me as Indra. Indriyanam, of all of the indriyas, of all of the sense organs and organs of action, I am the manas. I am the mind. Because for the indriyas, for the sense organs and the organs of action, all of them are totally dependent for functioning on the mind. You know, just like all of the adityas are totally dependent on Vishnu, right? And all of the luminaries also come from the fire, come from Ravi, come from the sun. So here, you know, and for the other devatas, all of them are held together by Indra. He's their ruler. So here, what about for us, for all of our sense organs in the mind, and sense organs and organs of action, all of them require the manas, the mind, to function. So see me, of all of the indriyas, and so the mind becomes also an instrument. It's viewed here as an instrument. Of all the instruments, it's the instrument of instruments. The mind is needed by all of these indriyas, sense organs, and organs of action. And then, Bhutanam Asmi Chaitana. Of all of the beings, I am the Chaitana. Means you can take it, I am the Buddhi, For living beings, I am the buddhi, but I am the conscious being which they all enjoy. All of the beings, I am the chetana, I am the consciousness which they enjoy. Another way to take that is I am the buddhi, I am the will. Swamiji talks about this. Buddhi means the one that has knowledge, the one that makes decisions, the one that has will. So what he says here is that we're all living beings. The living being takes care of its, the growth and everything of the living being takes care of itself. You're not really controlling its growth. It goes through the the six modifications from coming into being born, coming into being, growing, going through puberty, then becoming old and dying. It goes through this process on its own, and you're also being given sense organs and a mind. But the buddhi is something, and the will is something that its growth and its maturing depends upon you. In other words, your growth in terms of your mind, your maturing, depends upon your will, and your focus and your will. He says your will. This body doesn't depend upon your will. It's going to be born, grow, and die. But your will, and it'll mature on its own. But your will, your antakaran of your mind, requires your buddhi, your knowledge and your will, as Swamiji says. That's a very interesting way of taking it.
Is intellect another word that could...
Yeah, buddhi. The intellect, but it means the buddhi, but he was highlighting will. He's highlighting will because you have choice. Do you have the will to change? Do you have the will to follow Dharma? Do you have the will to correct your bad habits? All these kind of things. You're given that will, and you can use that will, for Dharma, for your own maturation. So he says, I am that, see me as that chetana. See me as the buddhi, you can say.
That always seems like an arduous task to use the will. Is that something easily accomplished, or is it natural, or is it a...
Well, I say if you have to use your will, it's not coming naturally. You have to use your will to do certain things. You can use your will to do something wrong also. Mm-hmm. But you have this capacity to use your will. You have your capacity to gain knowledge. That's the buddhi. So Swamiji brings in this aspect of will, but what is the highlight of being a being, a living being, is the buddhi. That you can gain knowledge, that you can correct error, that you have will, that you have free will, you have choice. So that's why he says, see me as the chetana, the conscious being. The conscious being, the buddhi, among all the living beings, see me as the buddhi. When you really reflect on it, it's very moving, actually. That's what it is, And the buddhi develops. The buddhi is the one, who can gain knowledge, relative knowledge, but also moksha. And the buddhi is the one that can follow Dharma. To follow Dharma means you have a choice. You have a choice to do a Dharma. And you use your will to follow Dharma, until you don't need to. If you don't need to, then Dharma is natural, But because of desire and because of ajnanam, you can do a dharma also. To not do a dharma requires will, it requires choice. I'm not going to do that, even though I feel like it. Why? Because it's a dharmic, it's not right. But I have an impulse to do it. But I'm not going to. Why? Because I use my will to not do it, even though I have an inclination. That's will, Mm-hmm. Or I have to use my will. I was talking to somebody about this. To become good or skilled or a master of anything, you have to stick to it for a long time. You can't just say, I want to do this, and I want to be a master of this, or to be proficient in this. you want to be proficient in something, you have to use your will, you know, to study, to practice for a prolonged period of time. You know, like what if you say, oh, I really want to do this, and then you start doing it and you get tired, you know, after, you know, a couple of days or weeks or a couple of months, and then you think, nah. Because you don't have the fortitude. It's called upadati, you know, in the Shamadhi Shatka, those sixfold qualifications, Shama, Dhamma, Upadati, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, Shraddha. Upadati, if the Shama is the ability to have a choice over your thoughts. You can dismiss the thoughts or the feelings. You have the freedom, that Shama. Dhamma is that ability to, if the thought has grabbed you, to control it, to be able to hold it, to not let it take you over. That's Dhamma. Upadati is in the world of the sannyasa, it's often called sannyasa, because I'm devoting my life to this understanding. So it's the ability. But if we just use it generally, it's the ability to stay with something until I gain mastery over it. Instead of being a dilettante, I'll do this for a little while, do this, I get tired of it, do this, do that. So I can't gain any type of mastery or proficiency. Upadati is the ability to keep yourself on track over a prolonged period of time, as opposed to samadhanam. Samadhanam means that I can sit down and meditate and hold my mind, resolve my mind, or keep my mind focused on something for a short period of time, like an hour, 2 hours. If I'm studying a book, I can actually read the book page after page without losing my mind to some daydream. Or I can contemplate, I can focus on something, I can do that. That's samadhanam. I have the ability to be single-pointed, you know, to be able to contemplate. But upadati is not samadhanam. Upadati is the ability to keep on track, you know, to maintain an interest and engagement in something for a prolonged period of time so that I can really deeply know it or understand it or become proficient in it. Like upadati, say, for a piano player, you know, or an artist, or anyone who's studying any type of material, how long you have to be able to stay with that. Now, what about this knowledge, which involves so much? Not only, there's a lot to know. In one way, there's only one thing to know, but then you have to know that in the context of this universe. So there's a lot to understand. And you have the added attraction, or the added problem of the antikarana shuddhi, you know, being able to work through all of the problems and all the emotional strains and complexes and ways of behaving in the world that make it worse, that type of thing. You know, that takes a lot of time and commitment, you know. So that ability to use your will, to have a will that you can use over a prolonged period of time, is what we call upadati. So that is what I'm just going off on, this bhutanam chetana. And this is the chetana, the human ability to, the buddhi, and the ability to use your will to accomplish something. So, anyway, that's enough. Let's stop there. Purnamidah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Harihi Om.